cars look.
Ready?
Yeah.
Do I have your permission to record?
Yes.
So I'm going to do some background information. What is your name?
Charles D. Hart. Go by Chuck.
When and where were you born?
Radford, Virginia, June 29th, 1957.
How old are you?
60.
Okay. Yeah. Where do you live now, and how long have you lived
there? 1626 West Nelson Avenue, Rances Pass, Texas. Moved there in March 2006.
All right. So here's the interview. So when you first heard about Hurricane Harvey, what was your reaction? How did you feel?
Well, it started out as a depression. And I watch all, because I'm a weather spotter. Anything like this coming, I have to be ready for it. And anytime, like today, I was showing you that little part that came up, I have to prepare for it. And I saw it's depression. And it was coming this way. It was going to start to be just depression. Then all of a sudden, it bloomed into category two. Then it went to three. And by that time, it was too late. Well, not too late, really. But then it went to four, and we were here. But there's nothing we could, it came fast, formed very fast because the water temperature was so high up in the Gulf, as it is still now.
So why did you want to stay in Corpus Christi? What motivated you to stay at your house?
Well, I got my Harleys there, and I'd have left, five I'll leave. Anything three is the house structure we considered would be safe. And sometimes getting on a road is more dangerous than staying. Yeah, but the reason we stayed because the aisle was supposed to go a little further north, and it didn't move. It was a calculated risk, which wasn't very smart, but we made a calculated risk. And I'd have probably stayed anyway because I've got cats that can't travel. I have to grab them and put them in a cage. This is too stressful. And if I had to actually do it, I would, but it wasn't at that point yet. And Liz, she had to, my wife, she was at the at her University of Texas Marine Science Institute in Port Aransas, and she was preparing for it. And when she came home, that's when it turned from forward. We thought, well, it's going to go more north. One time looked like it was going towards Houston, but now it stayed, came a little further and stayed on its track when we got it.
So how did you prepare for the hurricane? Like supplies, or did you go up your windows?
Water first. I have a bunch of containers that I keep just for that. Ocean spray, cranberry juice, gallon containers, other gallon containers, leftover buckets, 5-gallon buckets rather. I have some for water for drinking, water containers. Turn the air conditioning down as low as we possibly could. We got it down to, I think, 62 in the house before it struck. Boarded up the windows with some stuff called ply locks, which the boards were already cut by the people we bought the house from, Hogan Homes, and he pushed them on the edges of the plywood, and he pushed them in the window, and you just take your fingers and pull them out. But I had to board over the back windows using screws, 3-inch screws to go in the wood, and the doors had to do that. Take everything in the house, I'm a hot pepper plants, but Carolina Reapers, brought those in, put everything I can down low, brought stuff in the house, put them in the garage. And that's, wasn't much we could do because there wasn't a whole lot of that stuff to blow around in our yard. But that wasn't another case in other people's yards. But we did the best we could food-wise. Well, I've always got a supply of their canned goods and stuff. At least a month we have food anyway. Wouldn't worry about that. Turn up the air conditioner. I mean, the refrigerator and the freezer as high as we possibly could. And we didn't know the water was going to be turned off, or we'd have put more water up. But they turned the water off on us, on the whole city, which I've never seen before.
Yeah. Okay. What was your experiences like during the storm? Like, what did you do? Did you remember any
things? Oh, yeah. When it started coming in, it started getting just like a regular start wind blow, just overcast. Nothing big, no thunder, no lightning this time. This is really odd. I'm there, not a storm, spinoff storm, nothing that I saw. Didn't hear any thunder and all. And it started gradually, the wind started picking up more and more and more. And I went in the garage and I secured the garage door. We have a, where it latches, when it pulls up out of the garage door opener, I've disengaged it and put bolts in the door because sometimes they'll rattle and the door will come up. So I bolted the door down, and that's when I was in there and the power went off at 4:13 on that Friday. Yeah, and the I was sitting there, we went back in, and there's no power. Started reading, and the wind's picking up. And it started really, really picking up. And I knew it was over 100 miles an hour. I couldn't see out, except for little holes were around the door. Peeked through, and I could see everything moving. And it got so bad, you couldn't see anything. The wind was blowing so hard. The drain was going sideways almost 90 degrees sideways. And we was sitting there, and my wife was worried, and the kitty cats were very worried. They'd gone and found sought shelter, most of them, except little Bobby and Toby. They were right beside me, and Pixie. And beside Liz was Sunshine and Minky. And one of the kitty cats I brought from here in A&M, Sable, he stayed out, and most of them hid. And it was around about 10 o'clock at night, I heard the wind shift from the north back to the northwestern, and that's when I heard noises start outside. I heard some crash, like a drop of drawer full of utensils. That was my neighbor's storage unit, storage building coming in my yard. It moved 40 yards, maybe, in air at 10 feet high and slammed down in my backyard, destroyed the fence, killed my, I just put in some bamboo, $150 bamboo plants, and sitting on top of it now, hadn't been moved. And just waited, and I heard like a freight train go over the house, which I knew was a tornado. Well, I knew if it touched down, nothing we could do. But it's when you hear a train, that's the sound of a tornado coming. So you get the Doppler effect, like, you hear a train coming, it goes by. I actually heard two. One was off in the distance, this one was close, but it didn't touch down. We didn't see any evidence of it. And it was that whole night, it just rolled around, and finally when it started moving off, I went outside, and there's destruction everywhere. I was one of the first ones to go out. And looked across in that church, it lost the facade, and a lot of its roof, sides, but it's still intact. The neighbor's fence was all down, water was deep, and everywhere, and that night, no power. You go outside, and you hear all of nature. Frogs were chirping. And the next morning we got up, the birds and all wouldn't fly. They were disoriented. And after the preparation, if you're so busy doing stuff, you don't have time to worry about what's going to hit you. That's it on that preparation. Not a whole lot you can do. You don't know what's going to come at you. You can just put up, hope you all think your building's secure. That's the only thing you can do.
Yep. All right. So, were you worried about running out of supplies during the storm at all?
No, I got worried about water.
Water.
Because 8 days, it's getting kind of low. Because what we did was, we didn't have rain and come in and off. When we get low, I just put buckets outside. Kids run them right off. Use the toilets and washing hands. Of course, after water, we'd have to take a 5 gallon bucket, maybe 2 gallons of water, take a cup, stand in a shower poured over our heads. That's how we took showers. And that was what's worrying, because sitting there, you're not doing anything, you're still sweating. But if you got to move, you sweat it even worse. It was horrible, horrible. There was no relief. You couldn't get away from it. And that wasn't, the food wasn't worrisome. And water, you know, I had plenty of beer and other drinks. And water was just for the cleaning and for the animals. But then again, the ice was melting. And that was another concern. What happens when ice melts? And my generator, that was another problem. It wouldn't run correctly. Afterwards, we thought we could run the refrigerator and the freezer, maybe get the air conditioning, but it wouldn't run correctly. So we had to live off fans. And I worked on the dang thing. You didn't want to go too far because the fan's working. The fans didn't work, it'd been horrible. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like. Man. It was absolutely, you could not breathe.
Hard to breathe?
Yeah, and the good thing was we had a hurricane brought the wind out of the north and it cooled it down a little bit.
Okay.
At night, you could go outside. I spent a lot of time standing outside and go in during the day because it's just cooler out there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I was watching the neighborhood. Didn't want any looting going on.
Okay.
And nobody moved much the next day afterwards.
So, I know you said you have pets at your house. So, how did they react during the storm?
Well, most of them hid, or they weren't themselves except for Sable, the one that lived here on the campus. He walked around pretty good. And Bobby, he was walking around being happy best he could. And Toby, most of them, they were really scared because they hear that noise. They did crouch, mm-hmm. The ears. And Misty, she stayed hidden for 3 days. Well, she'd come out and eat. Drink, she'd go back underneath my bed. And she came out and talked for 7 minutes. She meowed and told me all about it. I'd like to know what she was saying, but for 7 minutes she just meowed and quit and walked off and was happy, flicking her tail. But they were all very spooked. Archer and Aries, their brothers, they were really spooked because their mom was feral and they're about half feral. Anybody walks in the house, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like anybody. But they were really scared and misty. Bobby did well. Bobby did well. Toby did well. Pixie did well. Archer and Aries were scared. Minky and Sunshine were scared, but not too bad. They were beside Liz. Ariel, and it was fine. Let's see who else is running around in there. Belle, who lived here on campus, she stayed in the back room. She wasn't scared. She just didn't come out. See, all my buddies. I got so many. And I was,
so how many pets do you have?
12.
12, okay.
And I was going to get some pit bulls, but for some reason I didn't wait. And finally got the pits. They were older. And I wasn't had any place to put them because the storm came along and stored their fence. All the neighborhood fences, everybody lost their fences, minimum.
Wow.
Everybody lost
That was
lost
the minimum
their
damage. Wow. So it means the winds were really strong.
Over 100. I'd say they were about 130.
130.
I've been in the hurricanes before at 130 miles an hour, so I've got a good idea what the wind was like.
Okay.
But this one was so, it hung around. It wouldn't move. It just stayed. That's where all the damage, if it had gone on, there would have been damage, but it just stayed. It stayed, and it moved back down. And then finally went off back out to the sea, then it finally went up towards Houston. See, it came in, stopped, came back, and went back over the ocean, gained some more power, then went, that's when Houston started catching all the rain.
So, what was your experience like in the aftermath of the hurricane? After the hurricane already blew through, and how'd you feel? Hot?
That's when, if you have PTSD or anything, when something comes on like that, you just start thinking about what happened, how lucky you are. And you look around and everybody's, it's kind of hard to say, it's you're in a state of shock. And you're looking around, you're trying to do things, but your power's off. You can't do anything. You can't take the boards. You can't go anywhere. The hospital was down. There was nowhere to go, nothing to do. So you just sat there. And hopefully, help would come soon. Get the power line, the water back on, and just wait. It was just waiting is what bothered me. Nothing you could do. And everybody's sitting there, God, they're worse off than I am, so I'm not so bad. And finally, I saw the power companies coming around. That was a good relief.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an excellent job. Very good. Very. They did. When they came back on, I was saying, God, I wish this 8th day. One week, actually, a week from the Friday was there. It was 8th day. I'm sitting there, and man, I wish this power come on. It's laid back. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and the light came on. It came on, I swear, almost the same time. It was about 4 o'clock a week, 8 days later.
8 days later? So,
well, it's Friday, because 8th day. And it came on about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And I was hollering, and my wife thought something happened to me. And I'm going, shut the windows. The air conditioner, and I was, oh, God, the air conditioner is tilted. So I ran out there going, please let it be running. I'm like, oh, hell yes, 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 yes. So we were coming back. But then you go outside, and you look at my neighbor, Mike, and he's lost everything. I mean, his house is intact, but he's had to pull out his couches, his furniture. Everything is soaked. Carpet and all. And he's a teacher at West Oso. And his wife is a Del Mar student. So they had it pretty rough. And their daughter and dog, they stayed through it. And then eventually they got to go to Robstown where they when traffic moved towards that way. But our neighborhood, it fared well, but roof damage and all that church, they finally tore it down.
So, did your house receive any damage?
Luckily, the fences are gone. Some of shrubbery and all has got tore up, and it's coming back. And the fence, the trees are laying down. We can't do anything about it. So my neighbor gets his storage unit out of my backyard. And when I don't know he's going to do that, he's got to bring a forklift in. And we've all lost one shingle. I didn't even know we did that to Liz. My wife told me when windstorm, I thought we were fine. But that could have been any time. That could have been from, that happens, and things fall off.
Yeah.
Lost a refrigerator and an electrical stove. Something happened. I don't know if it was a power surge, water got into it or what, but they're dead. But other than, in this area, like Rockport and Ramses Pass, the wind pushes trees over this way. Well, this wind straightened my tree straight up now. Straight up, used to lean a little bit to the right, looking out, now it's straight up. Mm-hmm. You can see the a root was hidden, now the root's above ground just a little bit. So it straightened it up. And it is, what amazed me is the speed that the leaves came back on this tree. It's almost full, and it's 5 weeks. Usually it takes 2 to 3 months for it to come back. But it's a very healthy tree. So we're lucky on that part. We got shade in front of the house. Just can't shade it from the neighbors across the street, those churchgoers.
So I know you were talking about your neighbors earlier, but what were their experiences like during the storm and after?
Well, my next-door neighbor, Alan and Christine Rector, they left and went to San Antonio. John and his wife, I can't remember her name, they went somewhere because he had a bunch of rental properties, so he went to one of his rental properties. But I can't remember what Debbie's kin to him or not, and two other guys stayed there during the storm. And they did well, and down the street, I think these people would say Filipino, I'm not sure. I think they were nurses at the hospital, same with the blue Christmas bond on. And they lost a lot of shingles in their fence. The lady down beside me, her name's Debbie. I hadn't met her. A guy was watching the house, talked to him. I had to challenge him because I didn't know he was out looking at the house. What are you doing over looking at my neighbor's house for? Because we went and looked, she left her house open. She lost a lot of shingles. The next guy, Michael, shingles, fence all down through there. Some houses just lost a lot of shingles and some lost none. Now, up the road at the trailer park across from the high school, there's some damage there. I saw one trailer looks like somebody just grabbed the top of it, pulled the top of it off, opened it wide open. And I didn't go around too much in town because it's not good to, because everybody's got problems, and if you're moving around, you might get in a situation you don't want to get into. Something falls on you, you have an accident, so the best thing to do after that is just wait and do your stuff around the house and try and help your neighbors, but there wasn't all we all did is just went to pick the fence up. And John and then, they were worried about their rental property. And he was very upset when he came back and saw what damage it was to our house and what hit in the background. Building in my backyard, he was upset about it. It's just hit him really hard. And Alan and Christine, they were fine. They're African American. It didn't bother them. And John, they're Caucasian. Everybody, they see this guy from Jamaica, Litton, they did well. His sons, they went to University of Houston. And they decided to come home. You know where they got evacuated? University of Houston, Victoria. They evacuated students to Houston. That was, not the best. It was the only odd thing to do, but they put them worse harm's way. They didn't mean to. But his two sons, they stayed there. And their house, and I said, just everybody got some damage. We're going down the street, and there's some homes destroyed. Older homes, the 50s. Up to a point like 40s and 50s, they started going from all handmade to prefab type. It goes by the boards and tapping them. Used to be houses were put together right, and it took a while to do it. The 50s and all, and they started prefabrication and all, throw them up and get some money in them or live in them. Those houses got tore up. wooden clapboard, I think they're called. And they had them up off the ground so the water wouldn't run under them, and it's farewell. Oh, one part of the downtown in Ranches Pass, the school building, they used an office building, something, it lost one side of the wall. It lives, and if you can look on the internet, you can see the drone. It's a drone that went over top of police department, and they showed all the damage from HEB and how much water. So if you see damage, there's a place, and it says it's Port Aransas or Rockport. It's Aransas Pass, because it looks like water in the streets. That's Aransas Pass. It's not Port Aransas. They got it bad next to water. We are above the. That's a good thing where we live. We're above the FEMA mark to have insurance, which is 25 feet. My house is 2,700 feet above sea level, which is good, which means we weren't going to get that storm surge. There's a friend of mine at the doctor's office, he lost his Sportster, Harley Davidson. Oh, man. He stored it at the guy he worked for, Dr. Bruce Russell, and he left it at Bruce's, and they went somewhere and came back, and water was up about 3.5 feet. Something I can't remember. Anyway, it's up there on his tank. Almost covered his tank. Yeah, he had to sell it to the insurance. Well, the insurance paid him, and he took it off, and he bought another, got a wide glide, down a wide glide, 101. But all the neighbors and all this, when I saw them, everybody was friendly, but it was concerned. Everybody was really worried. Because, you don't know how long this is going to take to get power back on, because everybody's so power dependent. Can you imagine living down here when there was no power?
Horrible.
No air conditioning.
Hot.
And even worse than that. No screens keep the mosquitoes out. And another concern of mine was there's a week that you have when the mosquitoes starting to breed and get really bad.
Oh,
and
boy.
They were just getting bad. Those big suckers, the size of a quarter of the legs, huge things. They were coming out. Finally, that's when air conditioning came off. That was a big concern. Because I have plenty of air and bug repellent and clothes, of course, but it still drive you crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of them breeding and everything.
Mm-hmm. But, you ever seen animals, you've heard being driven insane by bugs? It's easily be done. Mm.
Okay. So did the storm affect you, mentally or psychologically by chance?
Yeah. It's
how so?
Stress, anxiety. You don't know what's going to happen. And I was talking to a counselor here on the campus. I have PTSD anyway. And anxiety attacks from a Lyme disease, and it helps to talk about it because it's, even now, it's therapeutic. It gets the demons out of the way because you think it wasn't, things will come back up. I don't want to ever think about that again. It wasn't as bad. But it affected my wife really bad. I just went to tell you this morning, she was on the way to work, and looked like there was somebody, got fire truck, cops went by her, and she saw somebody over, but they made her electrocuted. She doesn't know. And upset her, so she was going to the doctor to get some medication. Because last night, I remember telling her she went to see a counselor about it. Everybody's providing counselors, and when you're getting around something, it's all this disaster, and you can't do a damn thing about it. That bothers you. And some people process information differently. And when you go through death, some almost dare near death, it could be. It affects you. It really does. Some people don't talk about it. Heart attacks. That's something that will be in the next few months. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people dying because of it, from the stress that's what's got to them. Because they haven't talked about it, or tried to do anything, or just kept it in themselves. But I'm seeking help and doing it now at the University Health Center down here, Mental Health Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they helped me out a lot.
So is that the only way you dealt with this form of PTSD? Did you find any other ways to deal with it, or
just keep busy around the house because we were supposed to be in school, and we were all geared for school, ready to go, and all of a sudden the storm comes. What are we doing? You can't study. You don't know what to do. You're confused. What can I do? I'm supposed to be in school right now because that's. After you go on a vacation, and the vacation gets kicked out of money, you're like, what the hell am I going to do? And your mind races, and it's just hard to try to put things back the way they were before after the storm, because you can't do it. But you try anyway. You go back to normality. And there's no more normality for a while. It still now bothers me. Going down the roads and God, all this destruction. But the good thing is, nature wasn't destroyed as much. It's just man-made stuff. So if you go out and look, there's a few trees down, but not every tree is over. Not everyone. If you look, cattle, they seem to fare much better. Birds, I've seen, they fared. Well, I'm sure there was, picked up 5 birds in my yard so far. And we lost 3 chimney swallows. And they were actually, they should have been gone, but they decided raising those a clutch of eggs. We lost those. But everything nature seemed to be, and that bothers me, because if nature's hurting, I'm hurting. I remember telling you about an ash storm in 95, and the worst sound I ever heard in my life was trees cracking in the weight of ice for days on end. It was like hearing people torture animals. You know, just, you couldn't put it out of your mind, because I had no power. I couldn't have it. You could just hear crunch, crunch, crack, boom, everywhere for 3-4 days before it finally melted. So, and when I saw that here, I'm looking around and I see trees down, but I don't hear any sounds, so it helped me out much better. And then the normality, and the helicopters start flying over. That's pretty wild.
Wow.
Yeah, they come over the house and look and checking on everybody. And guard, you can see the guard going by and everything. That's feel good. Cops come around, bastards even wouldn't wave at you. Guard waved at you. Hey, everybody okay? Yeah, cop. Pay a damn bit of attention.
Wow.
Wouldn't even get out of the car. I didn't see one of them get out of the car. Or he's like, hey, anybody need any help around here? No.
Do you think there's a reason why they didn't do that?
Yeah, because they think everybody's going to kill them or shoot them, you know, since all this stuff's happened. Since they killed that guy in Missouri, you know, the cops killing them. Anybody's protesting, anybody of color, or hell, just anybody. You know, so now they pull a gun and shoot you instead of trying to control the situation. You know, they figure everybody's got anxiety and I need help and say anything, then they might get shot or something. They're only there to see, yeah, well, they're riding around in a car. That's it.
Okay. So looking back at the hurricane and coming through your experience, what was the hardest thing about dealing with this hurricane in particular?
Seeing my wife and animals worry. Well, that was hard. And I had to, I can't break down. I mean, I have to be mean, I have to be tough. I'm the one in charge. We have a wife and I have a structure. And when natural disasters come around, I'm in charge. Whatever goes, I say goes. And other than that, she's boss. You know, she makes rules about, you know, household and all. But when a disaster strikes, I have to take over. And I can't show any weakness whatsoever. Because my wife, or if anybody else is around, they'll look towards me. You know, I'm out there, one walking around. You can't show any weakness. That it does worry about my wife and animals. It bothered me a lot. And everybody over here, you, everybody at school, you know, you think, that's a bad part. When you get to start thinking, oh, how's everybody doing? How you doing? How's Reagan doing? How's Debbie works here? And all the people, the kiddies, Ed. You know, if you start thinking about everybody, you think, then that starts affecting you. That's what the PTSD is. Oh, man, I got to need help.
Because you're worried about not just your family, but everyone else.
Yeah, and then you gotta be strong.
Yeah, you do. Okay, so it's the last question.
Okay.
Will your experiences staying in Corpus during the hurricane affect you for the rest of your life? Do you think
experience
will?
Yeah, sure. It's like I've ran through 3 in North Carolina at Ground Zero. One, we had to hover over our house, Liz, and taking animals also for 2 kitties that couldn't travel. Jimmy would get sick and Smokey, he just couldn't put him in a cage. He was outside cat, but I put him in a back room. And back then, and it's affected me this day and how I do things when the weather comes around. That I hovered over 25 hours, that bothered me. And this storm here is going to bother me forever because I remember it. It's indelibly stamped in my head. It's like my motorcycle wreck or something. I'll never forget it. it's going to bother me. Because, you know, you hear that stuff and you can't go anywhere. Only thing you can do is lay down on the ground and hope you don't get blown away. It's tough. Real tough. It's just hard to, you know, to think that, yeah, nature's this strong and I'm so stupid to stay, but where can you go? If you even going inland or anything, where are you going to go stay? Where's the motels? You know, I have kinfolk in San Antonio I don't associate with because it's trash. I wouldn't even call them. But we did luckily have some people in Austin we could have gone. See, but normally we don't know anybody. I don't have any kinfolk here in Texas at all, except for those people, and I don't associate with them anymore. It bothered me a lot, and it's going to still bother me. It's like I was showing that one just a few little bit ago. What if it turns, comes this way? That's going to be a hurricane, Category 1. You know, let's knock the hell out of everything again, but it's just the psychological, if it's coming here, it's going to really hurt. Because we had in North Carolina, had two hit within 60 days.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, and that was really rough on everybody.
Yeah.
Really.
And are they still dealing with the damage in Aransas Pass?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Golly. AT&T cell phone towers are still down. Like I said this morning, I don't know if there was a guy working out there on the power lines. On between Aransas Pass, Port Aransas, maybe, you know, one of the linesmen got hit the wire or something, electrocuted him. Oh, there's lots of work going on. If anybody wanted a job, they can get a job. No, you can get a job. There's nobody one more job, call here everywhere. Construction yesterday, trucks going around picking up debris. Here tapping on people, roofs coming back, putting things up. Slow, but a lot of work to be done. Sonic's still down. Churches, I don't know. I hope they come back because they just rebuilt that. Lowe's is not open. Walmart World is. Walmart. Eckerd's, they're in a trailer. And HEB, I haven't been in there. My wife has. They're coming back slowly. Popeyes, yeah. I don't know. Just things you see. When something like this goes on, it's best not to go into neighborhoods and all. Don't want to bother you seeing it. It's because everybody's rebuilding, and you'll just get in the way if you can't help. I'm not going to ride around rubbernecking. Oh, what's over here? What's over there? I'll get out and help, and sometimes you can't help.
Of course. All right. Well, thank you for doing this interview with me.
Man.
I appreciate it.
Sure.